Someone told me 86% chance I will not ever enter a C-suite because I will not be financially literate. That's scary. And that's a scary number to put on young females, too. How lucky are we that we can teach ourselves and educate ourselves when this is an industry that until recently you couldn't go to college for? You couldn't take classes on franchising. But here we are operating so in tandem with each other that I work with my sales team probably more often than I talk to my own marketing team because it's just the nature of what we do.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today is our fourth and final installment for March being Women's History Month. This has been a blast, focusing really the spotlight on some amazing female leaders in franchising. We've got pioneers, we've got innovators, we've got some of the next generation of superstar women in franchising. And today's is certainly among the next generation of just absolute leaders and rock stars in franchise industry. So excited to have her on. But quick reminder before we get to her, who we are. And Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals who are interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with over 600 of the top franchisors in the country, spanning nearly 70 industries. Our goal, number one goal, is to help properly educate you on all aspects of franchise ownership to determine if this is the path for you. If so, we're going to help you find your absolute best franchise to own. All right, that's a little bit about us. Now get to the good stuff and our guests. Joining us today is the Vice President of Marketing for one of the leaders in franchise funding, a company called Benetrend. So please help us welcome to the show the wonderful Allie Krause. Allie, how are you?
Hi, so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We got a bunch we want to talk to you about. And again, this is all focused on March being Women's History Month, and there are some amazing women in franchising, all different kind of pathways, roles, and really want to be able to kind of share everybody's story with this. As you know, franchising is massive, but it's really all about the people. And so we want to get to know that. And the first thing I ask everybody, Allie, is their amazing story on how in the heck did you get into this crazy thing called franchising?
It all happened faster than I can explain, to be honest. It didn't even start till 2018. I was just at the IFA convention this year and people were asking me how many IFAs I'd been to. I think they were assuming my answer was going to be this large, beautiful number since they were in Orlando, but I've actually only been to three IFA conventions. And somehow my path and my journey in this crazy industry feels a lot longer than that, probably because it's been a roller coaster, but I was a late career changer. I spent 7 years teaching severe special needs. I was an autism teacher in Baltimore. I'm from Maryland. And I had a late change and wanted to try something new. And I very accidentally met the CEO of a new and emerging brand at the time, a brand called Celebrity School. His name was Richie Huffman. And I met Richie Huffman. And I remember I had not even told my husband that I was going to this interview. I hadn't told my husband I was going to quit teaching. And I said yes, which has kind of been the trajectory of everything I do is just saying yes. So I remember on this spring day, I had finished teaching and I had my teacher lanyard on at a time, because that's what, especially special ed teachers, because they've got your green cards and your red cards for your kids and everything in between. And I remember I showed up in that lanyard with my car keys in one hand and my Dunkin' iced coffee in the other. And I walked into that man's office not knowing what the heck I was doing, because I clearly didn't know you shouldn't show up that way to an interview with a big business. But I did. And 3 hours later, I had developed this incredible relationship with this guy. Like, we had been friends forever. And he offered me a job that day. And so I moved into a marketing department being absolutely terrified of the word marketing. I remember I told our CMO at the time, I am not in the marketing department. I am in the events department. Because it had a stigma to me. I was terrified. I didn't want to do advertising. I didn't want to sell people cars through commercials, right? That was my like very like non-worldly view of marketing back then. So I took this job as this director of events, and little did I know I was actually entering franchising and not the childcare industry. I was in this marketing team that got to help support launching the franchise business. So I went through a full rebrand. I was part of building the operations and the marketing manuals, and we worked with SMB franchise advisors to get known and used to the world of franchising. And I still remember my first trade show today. Sat right next to Leanne Caruso, who called me a booth babe, and it's an ongoing joke that we have. So you'll have to ask me offline about that story because it's not as bad as it sounds. But it all happened accidentally, and here we are in 2024, and I am no longer with Celebrity. I'm at Benetrends, but my kid went to Celebrity. They're local, and so it's really cool to have this brand that I got to be part of the launch and still super close with that whole team there. So experienced the franchisor side of the world for a while, and now I'm on the supplier side, which has its pluses and minuses, and we learn as we go, but having a great time over here at Benetrends, making funding present in our wild world of franchising.
So what was your, and I love that, like almost everybody I've asked that question to has some random, like dumb luck, literally one person ever, but he was born into it. And so like, so that doesn't count, right? And so, what was your, like, if somebody said to you before that interview, like, what's a franchise? What would your answer have been? What came to your mind about a franchise?
I eat McDonald's, but that's not the funny answer, and I'd rather give you a good answer. I probably would have said McDonald's, and I also probably would have talked about the NFL. And I don't think at the time I understood the difference in what a franchise meant, and I'm still not clear on how the NFL franchise really operates, but I do work for the Baltimore Ravens. I've been employed there 12 years now, so going into my 12th season with that incredible organization. So I think in my mind, I was back in 2018. I had already been with the NFL for 5 years. So in my brain, it was a franchise, and we had an owner, and he dictated what happened from top down. So it was a
Right.
very skewed version of it, and it makes you appreciate the Titus University and Georgetown and what they're doing with young brands through Dr. Kathy Gosner up at the University of Louisville. So it's just so cool that people have opportunities to actually learn about franchising right
Yeah.
now, because I would have told you Baltimore Ravens probably.
It's funny when you talk about the sports side of thing, you think of that, right? And you're like, oh, see, it's, whatever the Ravens. I'm baseball wise, I'm a big Cubs fan, right? Oh, it's the franchise. Yeah, no, not really, right? So, not exactly the same thing. I wish there was funding for me to buy the Cubs, but
Me too.
I don't think that's gonna happen. And somewhere in a box in my garage, and that I'd been a little bit more prepared for this, or prepared at all to do this, I would have dug in there, and I have from when I was a kid a alarm clock. There's a football helmet, and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
Oh, boy.
I know that would have really disappointed you. And I grew up in Indiana, where the Colts left your city and came to Indiana.
We're all kinds of rivals then. You're just throwing all our favorites.
Tell us a little bit about, give us a little scoop. I want to talk again, just give you a chance to talk about Benetrends and who the heck is Benetrends and what do you do? It's funding, but give us a quick little overview on Benetrends and the services that are provided.
Yeah, Benetrends has been around 42 years. Our founder, Len Fisher, who know him, love him, he's still involved in the business. Len was an ERISA attorney and realized that people could, through some loophole in the IRS, open a business with their retirement funds tax deferred. So anyone I talk to in my normal life, when I tell them that's what we do, they say, that's got to be illegal. And I laugh because I've learned over the last 2 years now how to kind of explain it in lamest terms, how we actually do a rollover. So we started as a rollover business. We've funded over 30,000 franchises in the US, so long-standing history with this fantastic company. And more recently, we've started kind of opening funding doors. We acquired a company called DCB Franchise Group about 2 years ago, who is now our 10-person SBA lending team. So they've got about 100 to 200 banks that they work with that we get SBA lending done efficiently with business plan writing. We also have some additional quick start programs that help franchisees with those lower cost kiosk type of franchises get over the finish line. So it's been fun because over the last 2 years here, instead of just focusing on Rob's like we have been for 42 years, we found new and better and more efficient and quick ways of funding all types of franchises, especially in the shift of what we saw from COVID, kind of moving towards some of those lower cost home franchise concepts, some of the mobile concepts. We have specific fleet programs for them now. So it's been kind of cool to see over the last 2 years how we've really taken this old 40-year-old company and just shaped it into what it is today, even just 2 years later.
Yeah, no, and it's funny you mentioned the retirement and the Rob's retirement or rollover for a business startup, right? With your
Yeah.
retirement. And the like I say 9 out of 10, but I don't think that's a high enough percentage. But basically hardly anybody that we work with that's gonna like that they know that exists already. And then
Yeah.
there's a little skepticism. How's
Totally.
that possible? To the point of financial planners and CPAs and tax advisors oftentimes literally have no clue that
No clue.
it is a thing. And I know with Benetrends and all the funding partners that do this, like there are times you're going to get on the phone with here's the client and here's their angry tax advisor or whatever going, there's no way you're trying to screw my person. And then they walk out of there 30 minutes later going, that's amazing. Oh,
Oh, yeah, they say,
I didn't know
oh.
that was a thing.
Honestly, it was the last couple of hours of my day today was working with our copywriter to get a press release out about a article that came out saying, "Don't touch it. Rob's is scary. You're gonna lose all your money." So we're kind of constantly combating and explaining, and really it comes down to educating, is we don't want people to constantly say, "Wait, that's illegal." So that's where it's fun to market, is
Right.
it's not just this boring funding piece to the franchise business. It is so much about educating the community, not just the franchise community, but the financial community and the human community of you can do these things with these funds that you have available if you have somebody that's educated and can share the knowledge of how to get it done and get it done efficiently. And so our sales consultants are really fantastic at being able to work with someone's financial landscape to understand whether they need partial SBA funding, partial rollover. And so that's kind of cool for us too, is that we get to offer all of these different funding options that you can do in pieces. You don't have to take all of your retirement funds if you don't need to. So it's fun to educate, and that's why we're here, and we're honored to be the preferred funding partner of the IFA because we have a lot of opportunities to educate. And so that's also what we've been building over the last couple years, is not actually keeping this our secret sauce, because we have plenty of competitors and there's plenty of fish in the sea, but it doesn't have to be a secret, and we don't want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay if it's not the right funding path for you, but at least getting properly educated
Yeah.
that it exists, what it's all about, and it's not like, some back alley, hey, like it's not that. So,
Absolutely.
super cool. So, Benetrends, Women History Month, Women in Franchising. Talk to me a little bit about your kind of life and career because you've had a couple different pathways with this. You've got a cool little side thing with the Ravens, right? Which sounds bad, side gig with the Ravens.
I call
So,
it my
but was there anywhere along the way, probably several, but any particular woman that really kind of impacted you, helped mentor, helped guide you along the way?
Yeah, I think the director of the Baltimore Ravens cheerleading team, her name is Tina. She actually started the program 26 years ago now. We just celebrated our 25th season as cheerleaders. She's been a huge mentor in my life, professionally and personally. And I think one of the most important life lessons that I've learned as a leader recently is not constantly feeling like you have to be the person before you. And I think times have changed a lot there, because when I was a teacher and I didn't want to be the principal, I questioned what was next, because you look at people before you and you think, I have to be that way or do this thing to get there. And so one of a hard lesson actually was finding space to just be me lately. And so I didn't know, going from the education world of being a teacher to the business world, where you have to advocate for yourself a lot and you have to advocate for salaries and have those tough conversations without any prior training in it. I think you have to use pieces of people before you that have inspired you, but still remain true to yourself. And it's such a cliche thing, but for me, it was, I'm in this business world now, and who do I want to be? Or I went from being a cheerleader to being an assistant coach of the Ravens team, and I had to decide what coach I was going to be, because I had this just long-standing assumption that that coach is really tough and I'm supposed to be mean, or I'm supposed, and mean's maybe a bad word, but when you see toughness, it looks different on everyone. And so it's been kind of a roller coaster of emotions and learning and trying to figure out what type of leader I want to be or coach I want to be. And it translates from hobbies and sports teams to the office. And in a remote world, how do you do it too? So I think the greatest thing I learned is that I can, first of all, care a lot less about what people think of me, especially as I'm aging, because it's always something I struggled with. And I think if you ask most women if they have the courage to tell you, most women are going to agree that that's a challenge. And so to be able to say, like, I'm a dancer and it's my hobby, so I don't need to hide that. So I'm going to do TikTok dances in trade show aisles. I opened that floodgate one time and was just amazed by the amount of positive feedback and fun that it brought to work. And that's who I am as a person. So I think integrating who I am as a person into my coaching and my leadership at Benetrends too is really has helped my personal branding and made me feel more confident as a leader, because I'm choosing to be me at opportunities that it makes sense.
And that's not easy. That's not easy to do, right? To have that confidence, especially as you talked about, even stepping into a few years back into the franchising world, you don't know what a franchise is, and marketing you thought was a four-letter word, and then it's not just, bless all of our teachers, but that's a very passive mindset, right? Like you're on your, you get paid what you get paid, and that's it,
Yeah,
right?
and you can Google it too, actually. So there's that.
Right.
Like,
And
you're on a
to
step.
right, exactly. And there's like that's you get summers off, right? That's the thing, right? And so to now get into this world where, there's the fine line between being able to kind of be your own cheerleader, but also be the self-aggrandizing person that we don't want to be, right? That is the dictator and just the mean and all about themselves. And I think the one thing just in knowing you over the last few years is your positivity is not fake. It's genuine, or you're really good at faking it. So
No, it's pretty good too.
there is that. So that's awesome. Hey everyone, I want to take a moment to spotlight one of our premier franchise partners, Arkadeck. Arkadeck is the world's largest designer of all the cool things in your backyard. Custom decks, porches, screen porches, outdoor fireplaces, outdoor kitchens, pergolas, gazebos, you name it. If it's something cool and amazing in the backyard, Arkadeck can do it for you. Sounds amazing, but guess what? As an owner, you don't need any design or construction experience. You need to be a people person. You need to be able to connect with your customers, your contractors that are doing the work, and in the community to build those relationships, to be that go-to person for all the incredible things you're going to build in people's backyard. You don't need an office. You don't need stuff. You just need yourself, eventually maybe a small little staff to build off of that. And as part of the Empower Brand group of franchises, you're going to have fantastic marketing support, all of the design and creative technology, really everything you need to be successful. What you need is what to be a person that can grow a big, huge business, helping people create this amazing thing in their backyard. If all this sounds like it might be a great fit for you, our team at FranCoach is here to help you find the perfect fit. Perhaps it's Arkadeck. Let's chat. and we can help you create your better tomorrow. Hey everyone, I wanted to take a quick break from our podcast to tell you about our amazing friends at Entrepreneur. If you're looking to become a franchisee or simply learn more about business ownership, and guys, let's be honest, you're listening to the Franchising 101 podcast, so we know you have some interest in this. And I really encourage you to go to entrepreneur.com to check out all of their great content and resources. Seriously, Entrepreneur has everything, all the way from a bookstore to the best podcasts, webinars, and videos, plus information on upcoming events and the latest articles that seriously, they cover all aspects of franchising and business ownership. If you're having trouble deciding which franchise is right for you, start with Entrepreneur's renowned Franchise 500 ranking, which highlights the best franchises of 2022. For 45 years and counting now, Entrepreneur has been and continues to be the most widely recognized and respected authority in the franchise market. Digital and print subscriptions are available, so you never miss out on anything. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to entrepreneur.com right now and learn more. You've gone from kind of being coached to being a coach, right? In a couple of different avenues of your life, franchising and outside. What are some things that you're trying to now kind of share with those that you are leading, especially kind of the women? Because like you said, it's not easy to just be comfortable in your own skin, yet still like push forward to succeed. So how do you kind of impart some of the wisdom you've gained on others now?
For me, there's been so many women ahead of me who have, well, there's been women on both sides. There's been the women who have been there. I don't dare I say threatened, but people who don't want to see you succeed because it puts them at risk of whatever that is. And there's also been the women who have wanted their seat replaced. And I'm choosing that avenue because right. I have had women from the time I was at Celebrity to going to Entrepreneur Magazine with Leanne to coming to Benetrends with incredible people here now too, is the leaders and the people that coach you and develop you that want to see you succeed are the match for me. And so I want to be that way, not just to the ladies on my team, but to the guys also that are fresh out of college and learning marketing. And I don't like to have a mindset of I'm going to be at Benetrends until I retire. And I'm not hiding this on the podcast from my dear CEO, Rocco. He knows that I talk this way because I think it's really invaluable to always train that replacement. And again, that's another cliche thing we hear, but to put it into practice is a whole different story. And so to constantly be, it takes work to find podcasts or things to read or books to follow up on or get your CFE credits or take this AI course with Stay in Your Lane, right? Like it takes work as a manager to find those opportunities for your team. But that's the gap in the people that have built empathy and understanding and community with their teams is the ones that want to be replaced. And I want to be replaced. I want to leave Benetrends in the most beautiful hands of someone on my marketing team one day. And I don't know when that day comes, but when it does, I want to feel confident that someone's been set up for success and can honestly see out the things that you've created, because that's what brings so much joy, especially in marketing and someone who's a storyteller, is you get to build stories and voices and beautiful moments for brands, and then we leave them one day. And so what does that mark look like, not just for you as a person and what you did in that seat, but what did your team do? What did your team achieve? And who is your brand and what's their story today? Because you were able to tell it and let that legacy live on. So that's kind of my entire outlook on what my team's job is at my company, whether it's Benetrends or another, but that's where joy comes from too. So it is genuine joy because we love what we do, and it's okay to look past where you are today.
Yeah. And even more so the fact that You are, when you're in a leadership position, you're not trying to keep the people down, even if whether they're going to replace you or maybe that it allows them to go on to something better because you've been able to lift them up rather than be the know-it-all dictator that's kind of keeping them in their place and being that bully, right? That's just like it's not any good, right? And I the you talked about something earlier, and again, I know you're probably doing the exact same thing, but I'm always surprised. My wife has a habit of seeing people. In fact, I think the last time we saw you, she said this to you. But she will just comment on random women, like in an elevator or something, like, oh my, like, and her thing, oh my God, you look stupid cute, right? I'm like, probably leave out the stupid, right? But I'm like, oh my God, you look so cute. Like, and I'm always kind of taken back. I know she's gonna do it. I know if I did it, I would get smacked, right? Like a certain thing, but the look on the women's face when they're like, oh, and then it's like a genuine like thank you, because there's so much I think of like clawing all over each other instead of finding the way like you're talking about. How do we help each other? How do we lift everybody up and do it in a like life's too short not to have some fun and be positive along the way. So again, what you're talking about is amazing.
And I think that culture in women in general has changed over the years. I grew up dancing at my mom's dance studio, and it was a cutthroat. Who's the one in the center? Who's at the front point? Who's getting a solo this year? And so you see it in sports, and you see it in the workplace too, is it is clawing to the top. But I don't see it being that way as much anymore. I see girls on the team I coach. I see females at Benetrends supporting each other. And I don't think it, I think it's just happening naturally. I think culture is changing and people are changing, and the value that we place in human interactions has changed too, specifically over the last 4 years, is that we have a human need for it. And so I think with the Women's Franchise Committee and the local chapters of the Women's Franchise Networks through the IFA are an outlet for women to start somewhere and then build their own branches of networks from there. But I do think it's happening more organically because women are sticking together and are a force and aren't so few numbered in the workplace as what they maybe used to be. So it's great to have these organizations like the WFC and local chapters that bring women together, because I always said, when I was going through middle school or high school, and you're on teams, sports teams, dance teams, cheer teams, whatever they are, and one of the things I miss the most is that team aspect. So if you can find that in other places in your life, it's gold. It's gold to have a team that you can have a personal relationship and accountability with. I always use the quote that Jesse Itzler said at a franchise update event I went to a couple years back, is he said, "Pressure is privilege." And I think living with the idea that having accountability and having pressure on your shoulders is something that you are privileged to have. So if you can keep that outlook on life, whether it's even just with a group of friends, it's an honor to be able to push through something that makes you a better person.
I love it. Well, I'm with you on, I think there's just a probably too slow cultural change with things, but you need to not discount the effect you have had just personally on that within the franchising industry. And I want, because of that, I want to talk about something here that you just told me before we came on that I'm so stinking excited for you. But first, back up, because you use the initials IFA. So if somebody that doesn't know what the heck that is, what's the IFA?
Yeah, the IFA is the International Franchise Association. They're based out of DC, but they are a fantastic organization that primarily is their job is to advocate for franchising. So they do have a full GR team, which is a majority of the work that they do down on the state and the national level for franchising. But one of my favorite parts about IFA is not just the events and the networking opportunities they have, but also the committees they have that are not IFA staff, but external people who are voted in or nominated into these kind of subcommittees that do different support and networking for different groups in franchising. So the one I was originally referring to was the Women's Franchise Committee. And it is a group of 27 brilliant women in the industry, and they range from suppliers to franchisors.
So this women in franchising group that you mentioned, I don't know, is there, do we know who like a future chair of that committee is going to be?
The current chair, we just got home from convention, and the current chair for the next 2 years that was just announced is Larissa Walega, who is the president at Zbart. Zbart is celebrating their 65th anniversary this year. And so she's breaking barriers by being the first female on their C-suite team, which is pretty exciting for that organization. And then I just found out that I am her vice chair. So I'll be the vice chair to Larissa for 2 years, and then I'll step into that chair position for 2 years following that. So my North Star of everything has come out and hit the news, and I've had more tears than I care to admit about it, but
I was gonna
it's
say you're and as you blush as you're saying that, so
great.
congratulations. Super well deserved. So I love that. Awesome. And the other thing I want to kind of use your story a little bit, because we talk so much on here on our podcast anyway, like franchisees, franchisors. But this is franchising in general is over an $800 billion industry, right? There's 4,000 or so franchise brands. And again, we think of, the franchisor, and we think of the owners, but all of the roles within a franchise. You don't have to be a franchise owner. You don't have to be a salesperson, right? The mark without marketing, guess what? Nobody knows what any of these things are, or operations or support or all of the different things. And so you've kind of gone down a mark the marketing path, right, for this. But again, as you got into this, were you even kind of surprised at to like how many different opportunities there are? We all think about the franchise owner, but all of the people within a franchise system or a supplier or whatever that is there to support them. It's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I started as an events girl. Like, my job was to host events for local communities for families that kids went to the preschool that I was with. So it's an industry within an industry. And I think if you don't know what it is, you don't know what it is until you get in this tight little group of people. But it's cool. I think it's really incredible too how, regardless of what channel you are in the franchising space, you learn so much about the others. And I think that's my favorite part about this industry, is that I could go from being an events girl at a childcare company to doing digital advertising at Entrepreneur Magazine to running our marketing in all types of channels at a financial company that I never thought I would understand financing the way I do today. But how lucky am I? Because I read a statistic one time that said 86% of women will never enter the C-suite because they are financially illiterate. And so, to not, I haven't left marketing. I'm still telling the story of a brand. I'm still marketing. I still am doing PPC on my weekends. But like, when it comes down to it, like, to be able to find different opportunities in an industry where I understand financing now for a franchisee. I understand how it works to do a rollover and set up an LLC and write a business plan. And so I am so grateful all the time that that gap that terrified me, that I read someone told me 86% chance I will not ever enter a C-suite because I will not be financially literate. That's scary. And that's a scary number to put on young females too. And so when you have an industry that covers everything that can be fran dev marketing versus digital marketing, like, how lucky are we that we can teach ourselves and educate ourselves when this is an industry that until recently you couldn't go to college for, you couldn't take classes on franchising. But here we are operating so in tandem with each other that I work with my sales team probably more often than I talk to my own marketing team, because it's just the nature of what we do. And so I think it's one of the most special parts of the industry that we probably don't really talk about that often, is you can go from being in fran dev and business dev to a sales role to a CEO. And it's cool that we have opportunities to work in these teams that are so business focused from more lenses than you can count.
Yeah, it is all about, I think, the number one reason everybody we talk to that they want to look, even just look at maybe owning a franchise, it's control. control over their lifestyle, their freedom, flexibility. You know, the money's going to follow with this. And whether you are a franchise owner or just in the franchise world, there's so much more control over your pathway, because it's in the corporate world, if you're in one lane, you're pretty much stuck in that lane, right? Well, you couldn't possibly go from that to this. You don't have the experience. Franchise, like, you want to try it? Let's go, right? There's training, there's support, because it's going to be that person that is a little bit hungrier, that like that wants to learn, wants to advance, wants something, and it's really there for you. It's why people, I think, when they get into the industry, I always joke, it's like the mob. Like, once you're in, you don't get out. Less murder and extortion, right? But there's you just you may move different places. You may be on this side or that side, but it's just like this whole underground hidden world that's everywhere right in front of us. We just don't know it. And it's not just being a franchise owner. It's all the difference. I mean, again, it's the $800 billion industry. How many stinking jobs is that, right? I've seen the stat for the franchisees, how many jobs that creates, and it's like 800 million or something like that. Ridiculous. But that's not even counting all the jobs within the franchisors, and there's 4,000 of them. The suppliers of how, like, thousands of those, right? So it's crazy what this can be. And so
Love that you called it underground. It's so true. It does feel that way sometimes. And I think that people find themselves cross-contaminating between all of those things, because I'd be lying if I didn't have an FDD sitting on my desktop right now for a brand that I'm looking at. And I just think it's hilarious that we can go between these different roles, because it's a fascinating industry that I think once you fall in love with it, you're like in for the long haul.
Yeah. You know, Ali, if you need help finding a really good franchise to own, I know a guy that can maybe help you. I'm just saying.
I
So
know of
let
some that could fund me too. So it helps to have good friends in the space too.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So hey, last thing, and I'll let you go, because thank you so much for your time. All seven listeners that we have to this amazing show we've been doing for 3 years, they're in some form here thinking about, is this right for me? Is franchise ownership right for me? What do you tell somebody that's like even just kind of thinking about this, that maybe they don't know or you would want them to know?
Network the heck out of yourself and say yes. I mean, it goes back to why I ended up here. And I think one of my most talked about topics is personal branding. And you often hear your marketing agencies talk about how important it is for the CEO to have personal branding, because that's what someone buys into, is the story that a CEO tells. But I think it's so much deeper than that. I think it's who you are as a person and bringing who you are as a person to the front, so that you can find the things that make sense for your personality, whether you're looking to work with or for a franchisor, or you're looking to buy a new business. I think if you say yes and you get involved and you go to the local events and you explore and do your homework, you're going to be so much more set up for success. And it's always important to keep that in mind going into a trade show, but it's deeper than that. And the resources are there. You just have to look for them, because your first phone call to McDonald's is not the way into the industry.
No, I love it. And one thing, this just happened yesterday, 2 days ago, with a former client of ours, because I think it kind of piggybacks on that. Is, as a franchise owner especially, you've got, all the support within the franchisor. The one part that gets forgotten sometimes is you also have a group of fellow franchisees that are going through and have gone through this the same thing. And it can be a huge, like, your own, I don't care what franchise owner, you're the owner of franchise X. There's nobody outside of that franchise that has any freaking clue what you're going through, right? Except for those other, even the people that are, all the support mechanisms within the brand. But again, the power of that connection of all of the different owners around the country at different phases in the journey, some that are going to help you, some that you're going to be able to help. It just again, it's why people get in and they never get out. There's always somebody there to support you in whatever you want to do. So,
And it goes right back to like missing that team culture of having a
correct.
team, because I grew up an athlete, is you miss it so much as an adult, and there's ways to find it. And so within a franchise system as an owner is a great way to do it. And you should be doing that before you buy into a system too, which is a podcast for another day. I'm sure you've podcasted on validation, but so important to have validation and conversations with franchisees in a system as much as you're talking to the franchisor team, because we're all salespeople out there, but when it comes down to it, the most important opinions and people are the ones of the brand.
Absolutely. We'll have you come back and we'll talk about that again. So there you go.
Okay.
So awesome. Ali, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. Congratulations on everything you've done so far, but certainly everything with the IFA, because that's amazing and well deserved. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, this was fun. Happy Women's Month to everyone out there. Keep killing it.
I love it. Thanks so much. And as always, we want to thank our amazing loyal Fran Coach and Franchising 101 followers and subscribers. So thank you so much for doing so. Please, if you haven't, follow us everywhere on our social media accounts. And then when you are ready, and if you're not, why not already? Let's go. You want to learn more, want to understand how this could be your next pathway as a franchise owner. Let's talk. FranCoach.net. Franchising101podcast.net. Reach out to us, set up that first call. There's never any fee for our service. We're here to help you learn about this and help you create your better tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.